Good morning. Welcome to the pre-show here on Phil TV in HD. I was talking to Kevin Farley yesterday, the outstanding young actor. I say young. Kevin's going to be 50 next. Now, all of a sudden, everybody that's turning 50 is young to me, you know, but except for some of you. Some of you are a little old. You know, some of you are getting old before your days, man. You know, like I was at one time until I discovered alcohol, mixing alcohol and pills. And, man, no, Texas Ebola patient has died. This cat must have been fucking sick, Jack. Because the nurse in Spain is allegedly, the nurse in Spain is fine. 99 people quarantined in 4 locations in Uganda 3 days after a fatal case of Marburg hemorrhagic fever was diagnosed. What the fuck, man? There's all kinds of 30-year-old male health worker died of Marburg virus, an Ebola-like hemorrhagic fever. But this man who came in from Liberia...
Well, are we... Is this what the program's going to be? Talking about this?
Well, Jesus, Margaret, there should be why don't you get the news, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, we'll start pulling our news, if you'll pardon the expression, pull. By the way, Brian Koppelman is a very nice man on Twitter. I didn't mean to, you know, get into it with you, Brian. I'm just saying, the tease that you put on your Twitter feed, man, about how this dude that you're interviewing, this Seth, whatever the fuck this guy, I don't know, I wouldn't know the motherfucker if I was, you know, forced to read his shit nonstop for a week. The guy said that Jim Morrison was a hack, an amateur hack, and he said that Bob Dylan is a professional. Jim Morrison was an amateur hack because he died, and he was a drug user, and he was an alcoholic, and that may perhaps be the case if you consider people that are drug abusers to be amateur hacks. I think it's personally a little unkind and also a tad cruel. See, I'm not one of these people, man. Like, it's very chic these days to sort of roll back the perception that we have of drug addiction and alcoholism and say, oh, well, it's a character thing. That's the mistake the guy made. It's a character issue. It's not a fucking character issue. It's a disease. It is a physical disease, and it is one that is that has baffled scientists. And were this guy that Brian interviewed for his podcast, whoever the fuck he is, if this guy was afflicted with the same illness, he would be facing the same obstacles and mountains to climb that Jim Morrison did, or for instance, Jimi Hendrix or James Dean. And I brought these names up, and I was told that I took the comment out of context. I said that, what is the context? Well, that's, he said, in the parlance of the trade, that's called a teaser. I said, I know what a fucking teaser is, man. And in the parlance of the trade, it was a fucking sloppy tweezer. Because if you are making the point that a man who is a drug abuser or an alcoholic or is somehow, affected by these substance abuse issues will forever be remanded to the ranks of amateur hack, I think that you're starting from a failed premise right there. I don't give a flying fuck what your motherfucking context is. I don't need to know the context. I know what the context is. You know, oh, you took it out of context. Oh, bullshit, I took it out of context. I know exactly what this guy... You don't make a statement like that, man, without the context obviously being that Morrison was a user or was somehow not professional in this guy's opinion in the ways that he went about the recording and live performing business of rock and roll. And, of course, the context being that he owed a lot to his bandmates. There ain't nothing new under the motherfucking sun. If I got it wrong, I got it wrong. But you know what? I don't think I have it wrong. There's some people you're going to give a break to, and some people you're just going to say, on the surface, I know exactly what it is you're talking about. I don't need to read your fucked up blog to... this guy's singing the praises of Bob Dylan, professional, because Bob Dylan is still alive. If Bob Dylan had died in that fucking motorcycle accident back in the late 1960s, maybe he wouldn't be in this guy's opinion. I'm sure he'd still be a professional because he died of a motorcycle accident. It wasn't drug addiction. It wasn't some manifestly irresponsible act, I guess. All right, so anyway, welcome here to the pre-show. So yesterday I was at the doing the... this is what I will say. Those of you who were with us last week, you heard me articulate about as boldly and as far as I will articulate what this project is that I'm working on. Let me see if we've got any news on this. What? Who's this to, man? Oh, to Tony and... yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a small remote TriCaster unit. Our remote kit is it's gone from being just the basic of doing a, you know, remote podcast, and now we have this concept of remote kits. We're gonna have a TriCaster. They're making TriCasters now, man, that are like this fucking big, that are completely mobile, completely transportable on a commercial aircraft. As a matter of fact, you could probably just carry it on. They're that small. And I would want to carry that motherfucker on, unless it was just packed into one of those big equipment cases and marked, you know, do not wreck for fear of, and please don't fly on United. Remember that guy's song, United Breaks Guitars? Did any of you guys see that? It's fantastic. It's on YouTube. I guess we could play it for you, but this dude is a singer from Canada, and he... I guess he was out traveling. Ebola patient to be discovered in U.S. First Ebola patient to be discovered in U.S. dies. God, that is sad. Anyway, this guy was traveling, and he was going to a gig in the United States, as a matter of fact, from Canada. And he saw his guitar out on the runway, I think, of the airport that he was sitting in. And he saw this thing being manhandled by the United baggage handlers. And as a result, he watched his guitar getting destroyed. So he wrote a letter to United saying, hey, you know, you guys fucked my guitar up. And apparently they did not respond. They were not responsive, shall we say, to the man's problem. I mean, this is obviously how the guy makes his living, you know. So he went out, he wrote this song called United Breaks Guitars. I don't know the name of this artist, but we'll find it for you here. Just right in here, United Breaks Guitars. You know what, man? I don't know what happened. I think we gotta just pan this motherfucker back, you know? United Breaks Guitars. Here it is. And then there's a corporate response. This I gotta see. Song 2, United Breaks Guitars. Well, here it is.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska. The plane departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago's O'Hare. While on the ground, a passenger said from the seat behind me, my God, they're throwing guitars out there. The band and I exchanged a look, best described as terror, at the action on the tarmac, and knowing whose projectiles these would be. So before I left Chicago, I alerted three employees who showed complete indifference towards me. Admitted, I should have flown with someone else or gone by car. United breaks guitars. When we landed in Nebraska, I confirmed what I'd suspected. Mike Taylor'd been the victim of a vicious act of malice at O'Hare. And so began a year-long saga of pass the buck, don't ask me, and I'm sorry, sir, your claim can go nowhere. So do all the airlines people from New York to New Delhi, including kind Miss Earlwig, who says the final word from them is no. I've heard all your excuses, and I've chased your wild gooses, and this attitude of yours I say must go. Someone else or gone by car. 'Cause United breaks guitars. Well, I won't say that I'll never fly with you again, 'cause maybe to save the world I probably would, but that won't likely happen. And if it did, I wouldn't bring my luggage, 'cause you'd just go and break it into a thousand pieces, just like you broke my heart when United breaks guitars. United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United breaks guitars. Yeah, United breaks guitars. Yeah, United breaks guitars.
Man, that cat made a... that dude has made like a... and there's Phil from the set of Playing House. Is that what that's from? Anyway, that dude has made like... it's a cottage industry for that cat. Dave Maxwell, is that the guy's name? I thought he... good for you, man. And not only has that dude, you know, gotten a lot of play for that song, but there's a... there was a corporate response. There's a United Breaks Guitars Part 2 song. And then there's also, I guess you just saw there, he's got a speaking tour, UnitedBreaksGuitars.com. So it's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, sure, Phil. Turn a very unfortunate experience into, you know, the trashing of an entire airline.
Like United doesn't used to it. Like they're not used to it. Like they haven't heard a lot worse, given their level of service. All right, so United, you broke my Taylor guitar. See here. Gotta get me a... gots to get me some. There we go. I'm just, occasionally, you know, you got to do a little pre-production here, and we're doing stuff for our TriCaster. But anyway, there was a very cool TriCaster that we did find, and I got the whole idea of United Breaks Guitars thinking about my own goddamn, you know, my own possible experience with equipment as we do our remotes. Our first remote is going to be from Hawaii. It will be most likely in November. I don't think we got time. We're not going to go out in October, because of the fact that we had the live show coming up at You know, we have the live show coming up at the Ontario Improv, so that's going to be happening there. All right, let's check out the news here this morning.
And this is Margaret. Okay, the voice is okay, good.
Yeah, the voice has been just fucked up yesterday. Yesterday was brutal, man. It was just, but anyway, we did a, I was in the funny voice business yesterday, and I, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, because I was looking at the Ebola patient. Unfortunately, the Ebola patient died, but fortunately, I was working with some really cool people, one of whom was Kevin Farley, and we were talking about getting older. He's turning 50, and I said, I'm not even afraid of dying anymore. He says, yeah, I don't, he says, I've got no fear of it either. And I said, that's the one way you can really freak people out, just go, you know, I'm not afraid to die, kind of. But it's not quite that, you know, simple. Texas Ebola patient has died. I guess that'll be the headlines here for the next, so as long as I want to keep it going, as long as I want to keep panicking people. Let's see, what we have here is the Thomas Eric Duncan has died, hospital officials say. The first person diagnosed with Ebola in the United States died Wednesday morning. The hospital said he was 42, was given the experimental Ebola drug. I don't know how to pronounce that. Brincadofofer. But his family said he was doing poorly in the hospital, a downgraded condition from serious to critical. When the family visited Tuesday with the Reverend Jesse Jackson, they declined to view him via video link because the last time had been too upsetting. What we saw was very painful. It didn't look good, said Duncan's nephew, Josephus Weeks.
Jesus, that's too bad.
Duncan may have contracted the virus in Liberia while taking a deathly ill neighbor to the hospital in a taxi. He left Monrovia on September the 19th flight and arrived in the U.S. the next day. He started showing symptoms September the 24th and went to a Dallas hospital for treatment on the 26th. He was sent home only to be brought back by ambulance on the 28th and diagnosed with the deadly virus. It is with profound sadness and heartfelt disappointment that we must inform you of the death of Thomas Eric Duncan this morning at 7:51.
They're working as a team to make sure that every individual that had contact with the initial case have been identified. 100% of the individuals have been identified. We have 48 individuals that we are watching closely. 10 of those individuals had higher risk. And again, all of those individuals are being seen once a day and having their fever checked twice a day. 100% were seen yesterday. 100% of them had no signs of fever, had no signs of illness. 100% were doing well. And so we continue to watch them very closely. This isn't West Africa. This is a very modern city. We don't have the level of poverty that they have in West Africa that is very conducive to the spread of disease. They don't have the teams of epidemiologists that we have monitoring every single person on a daily basis. They don't have the modern healthcare system that we have here in the United States. Some of the things that we take for granted, you know, when we go into the hospital, individuals being in a single room, having the gloves and gowns and the things that you need to use to keep the spread from infectious disease, that they don't have those things, but we're using those things.
All right, so that's about as clear as it could be put, but...
Mr. Friedman, thank you for coming today.
What is this? All right, there's one, two. We got number one. United. You broke my Taylor guitar. That blows. In other news this morning, we have Turkey's fear of a reignited Kurdish flame. What the fuck is wrong with the Kurds? I think the Kurds are great. I support the Kurds 1,000,000%. Jesus H. Christ. Give the Kurds their own homeland. Spain's Ebola nurse touched face with infected glove. A Spanish nurse may have become infected with Ebola when she touched her face with a glove as she removed her protective suit after treating a missionary who had the deadly virus, a doctor treating her said on Wednesday. Well, you got to be smart, man. You can't fuck around with that shit. Come on now. So we'll look at this story, too. I mean, you know.
Well, are we going to be doing all kinds of bummer news? I thought we weren't going to be doing bummer news.
Yeah, you said we wouldn't be doing it, Mr. Henry.
I said that we weren't going to treat news in a bummer way.
All right, so in other words, some guy dying from Ebola, you're going to laugh your way through it. Ain't that great?
I didn't say that either.
Well, what are you talking about then?
Yeah, why don't you explain to us exactly what you think you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it? What is this? You know, you confuse the living Christ out of me sometimes, Phil.
Sorry, General, I didn't mean to.
United. You fucked up my guitar.
Opponents of same-sex marriage gear to continue battle in courts. Yeah, okay. Oh, God. Welcome to our pre-show here. This is our Phil TV and HD pre-show, which we usually have every morning here live, and this is where we go through our show prep. So a lot of times if you're listening to the audio download, you'll go, well, I don't hear nothing. And what, you know, well, that's just how it is, man. That's how we do show prep, you know. If you want to watch us do it, you can also watch me sitting here like a dumbass doing my shit, doing my thing. It's kind of an overview of our studio from behind. See here are different, you know, computers, all kinds of shit. That's our TriCaster there to my left, which is our video computer. This morning, oh, I forgot to mention to you, this morning I'm very, very happy to say that we had a visit with, we were on the Bubba the Love Sponge show. And had a good time with Bubba, talked, you know, just talked in general. We were not very long, but he invited me on the show. It was really fun to be on the show. And we talked in general terms about the business, you know, which is always the kind of the thing we talk about on the Bubba show, you know, because the business has changed so bloody much. And he has, I told him, I said, you know, as much as I've done in my life and my times, battle with trolls, you know, especially since the advent of social media. And as much as I have made, you know, doing battle with certain trolls a feature of my, you know, public sort of commentary here, really, it's with the exception of one or two cases, we don't really acknowledge trolls because that's what, you know, as the saying goes, don't feed the trolls because that's what keeps them alive. Recognition is life to a troll. Lack of recognition is death. And yeah, I know they think that they can do all kinds of things to grab your attention, you know, all the way on up to like threatening your life. I mean, they, you know, all the way on up to stalking you criminally. I mean, it happens, but, nonetheless, that's what a troll will do there too, because they need that attention. They have to get a reaction. They have to have you say something about them, acknowledge them somehow. And so I was talking to Bubba about that because he has been doing his fair share of a battle with trolls. And I said, look, man, you know, I just kind of laid that on him. I said, I understand that there's some cases that'll flip you out, but for the most part, you got to just fucking ignore it. And he took my advice and he said that he is going to forthwith, you know, not make a big thing out of it. We'll see. No, not that I doubt what you're saying there, Bubba, but, you know, you got to, every day is a new day, man. You got to stay with it. You got to stay on it, you know. All right. United, you broke my Taylor guitar. Here is a character list. Shit. All right, so just setting up some characters for the show. Did we already print off the same sex thing? Yes, we did. Hong Kong protest leader, persistent fight. Kim Jong-un's absence fuels rumors over his hold on power. His prolonged absence from public view, including skipping a session of parliament, has raised questions as to whether his disappearance is less to do with his health and more to do with his grip on power. Kim has not been seen in public since September the 3rd. September the 3rd, an unusual stretch in a country where media provide a steady stream of propaganda images featuring the supreme leader, overseeing everything from missile launches to grain harvest. The supreme leader is what they call the leader. There was Dear Leader. And there was, the father was Kim Il-sung, the grandfather. The grandfather was Kim Il-sung. I'm reading a book right now called The Impossible State. I can't wait to get back to it. It's a fantastic book. It is about North Korea. And it goes back to the very beginning of North Korea. I realize it's pretty heady, weird shit, but... nonetheless, it's stuff you need to know if you, like, want to read it, if you want to read about history. But the Impossible State, it's about North Korea and the kooky way that that whole thing came about. There was a time when North Korea had a far better and a far more expansive and growing economy and really infrastructure than South Korea. There was a time when North Korea was kicking ass. And the height, as the author says, the height of North Korea's glory days was the height of the Cold War, when they were getting all kinds of aid from China and all kinds of aid from Russia, and they had more electricity, for instance, per capita than South Korea had. They had a far more industrialized state than South Korea had. And what was the reason for this? Well, like so many things in our modern times, in World War II, when Japan had invaded and taken over North Korea. This is, by the way, what I want to do the Saturday show. The Saturday show and the BSP only show is where I really want to, you know, do this kind of stuff to talk to you guys. Because you guys, my BSPs, you guys have seen the behind the scenes. All right, we will talk about this more. It is now. Welcome. It's time to get with this thing, man. This thing that we call the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we do welcome on our tune-in and our Listen Live listeners. It is the beginning of our show. We are live this morning. Yesterday we were out, as I say, we were off in funny voice land and doing that, you know. All right, I want to do another song here. We're going to do a brand new song, start things off. This is called, I believe this is called Labyrinth of Eyes. It's from...
That reincarnation, right?
Yes, it's Reincarnation, Labyrinth of Eyes, world famous Phil Hendry Show.